Okay, the boys, today's daf is daf mem hey. We're holding the top line on the Omid Aleph, where the Gemara says, Omer of Yehuda, Omer Rav, Nikva kinapa mitzdarfin leruba. What is this referring to? You remember that since the beginning of the Masechta, we have discussed a number of times, and in particular, on daf mem beis Omid Aleph, when we started enumerating all the 18 trefois. The first one that we had was Nekuvas HaVeshet, and now we're on to Psukas HaGargeres. The Psukas HaGargeres, as we've explained many times, means that the Gargeres, which is the Kona, the windpipe, has been severed 51%. And we're talking about L'Rochba. L'Rochba means not the long length of the Kona, but rather the relatively small width of the Kona. Somebody made an incision, somebody severed it, and they did 51%, that causes the animal to be treif. So, of course, 51% is a fairly large severing hole. Here we're talking, however, not that there was one large slice, but rather there were tiny little dots of holes on the kona. That's what the Gemara means when it says nikva kinapa. Napa means like a sieve. All of those of you that are familiar with sieves, they have small little holes, and in between each one of the holes is a little bit of the substance of the sieve. So what do you have to do? You have to go and take all of those holes. You'll see the Rashi says on the second and third line, kinapa, hagargeres, that's the kona, soviv lehekefa, around its circumference, has nikovim dakim kinapa, small little holes, just like in a sieve. So mitzdarf in the kavan l'ruah, says Rashi, ilo hayakulan mechuborin yachad, if you could go and take all of those holes and combine them together, hayaruba, it would be roiv nifsak, then treifa. You do not, however, add the space in between the holes. You only add the holes together as if they were all mechubar, and that if it adds up to roiv, then this animal, unfortunately, is treif. Moshe Rabbi Yirmiyah was quite upset about this, and he said, I don't know why you are stating that the shear of roiv, l'choyre, the shear should be like an iser, which is a small matbea. What is this Rabbi Yirmiyah based on? We're going to see shortly in the Gemara more the specifics. But first, Rav Yirmiyah quotes a Mishnah, which is in Masechtes Ayholois. We discussed this a few days ago. What happens if, Rachmon Litzlon, you have a mess who is inside a house, then that house becomes a din of Tumas Oil. But that's only if the mess has the right pieces to it. Meaning, for instance, if you only have Atzomois, or you only have the head, or you only have the Shedra, you only have basar, each time there are different halachas. Here we're talking about that the body was intact, or at least the whole head was there, but in the head itself, unfortunately, there was a large nekev. See, if you see the third line of the Gemara, begulgoylis, gulgoylis means the skull of a human being. Sheyesh ba nekev echad oruch, it had a nekev, a hole, but this hole was not a round hole, but rather it was a long hole, afili yesh bo nekovim harbe, or even if you have, like we just discussed, a whole bunch of small little holes, like in a sieve, mitzdarf on the maloi matach, what you have to do is add that all together and figure as if it was the area of a matach. Matach is a drill which is used by physicians when they have to do surgery or whatever. Anyway, with the Gemara, what Rav Yirmiyah is getting at is, Alma kiven de shiurak v'loi maktoch l'mloi maktoch mitzdarfin. Hochanami kiven de shiurak ki iser l'ki iser mitzdarfin. Meaning, back in Masechtos Yeholis, it says that if you had a round hole in the skull, so that the skull is not complete, it's unfortunate for the mess that had this hole in the skull. However, vis-a-vis the oil, it's good news, since the skull is missing such a large portion, there is no tumas oil in that oil. That's great. Now, what is the shear? Normally, the shear is mulei maktach. Mulei maktach means the hole that is created by the drill of a physician. What happens if I didn't have a round hole? That it would be caused, created by a drill, but rather it was either a long hole and or tiny little hole. So in both cases, the Mishnah tells us that you can go and be mitzarif, either that long hole, meaning you have to go and figure out what the area of that longish hole is, and if it is the area that would be the same as the area of the round hole formed by the maktach, by the drill, then this gogoilis is considered to be chaser, and therefore would not be metame ba'oyim. But we're not so much concerned about the long hole, we're rather concerned about these tiny little holes, which are like a sieve. So if you can add all of those together, each one of them happens to be like a mashu, very small little hole, but if you can add all those holes together, and they add up the mloy maktach, that the area of those holes would be like that drill, then that is the shear of the mulei maktach, the mitzarif, and then this mess will not be metame bi'oy. So that's the background. What does it have to do with us? Says the Gemara, by uns, the same halacha applies, or same halacha should apply, that the nekev in the gargaris, in the kana, the shear is typically that of an iser. Iser is a very small coin, if you're wondering how small is small. Remember, we have that famous mnemonic Dovev Ches. Dovev tells us that every shekel or sela has in it dalet 4 dinrim. Every dinner has in it 6 ma'a. Every ma'a has in it 2 punyoinim. Every punyin has in it 2 isrim. So if you go and multiply 6 times 4 is roughly 24. Then if you multiply by another 2 of the 2 punyoinim is 48. Multiply another 2 is 96. So there are 96 isrim in a shekel. There's even a smaller matpeya, which is a pruta, and that pruta is echon mishminis be'isr hu'italki. That would be an eighth of that isr. But we don't have to talk about prutois, because prutois, number one, are not silver coins. They are copper coins. And number two, our focus is on the hole that is created in a kana. If that hole is the size of an iser, that causes the animal to be treif. And so therefore, Frank de Gemara, just like if you had a single hole, the shear would be that of an iser. So now when you're adding together all of these tiny little holes, which are like of a sieve, like the size of a sieve, so why does the Gemara say that if mitzarif l'roiv, it should be mitzarif l'ke iser? Now I'm sure all of you are wondering, I never heard of this shear of a ke'isr before. What I heard in our Mishnah was, as we started off today's daf, Psukas HaGargeres, and Psukas HaGargeres is beroiv. So that's consistent with what Rav is saying. In other words, just like when you have a large hole, it's really not a hole, but it's when you sever, if you find after the Shechita that the kana was severed more than 50%, then it's treif. And therefore, said Rav, same thing applies if you have these tiny little holes, you mitzarif them to the shear of a roif. So what is this business about the iser that is being introduced now by Rabbi Yirmiyahu? So if you would kindly turn the page to Daf Nun Dalit, you'll see on the bottom of Daf Nun Dalit, our perek began Elu Treifis Babahema. That Mishnah begins Elu Ksheirois ba behema. The following are kosher. Oh, nikva ha gageres oishinistika. Again, the same gageres that we've been talking about. Either that there's a hole or that it's split. At kamati choser, how much should it be missing to cause the animal to still be kosher? Pshem gamliel oimer ad ki isri talki. Oh, until the shear of the isr. As long as it's 0.999 of an iser, and not a full iser, eluk sheiris, it's still kosher. Once you get over that iser or more, then in fact the behema is osur, meaning that it's not kosher, that it's treifa. Also, we have a brand new shiur now in the nikvah hagageres, which lechoira on the surface is soser, it's inconsistent with our first mission in the parak, which is that the shear is a roiv, and here he says that the shear is kiyas. But as you'll see momentarily, the Gemara is going to answer, it's not a stira whatsoever. Our Mishnah, back on Daf Mem Beis, is talking about the fact that it is severed, but nothing is missing. In other words, you have that kana. Take, for instance, if a person were to go and take a knife and cut through and sever 51% of the kana, and we're talking about not as part of a shechita, but rather, for instance, it was a serrated knife, and therefore he went 51%, oy, oy, oy. Then the behemah is a treifa by the fact, of course, the behemah would be nisnabla if you are cutting it as part of a shechita, because that would be what we would call ikur simanim, ikur, that which is one of the five psula. But we're not going into hilcha shechita now. In terms of the hilchas gargaris, if you find that 51% is severed and nothing is missing, Rabbi Yisai, if you theoretically take the two halves of the kana, which has never been severed, put on super glue or crazy glue and put them back together again, nothing was missing, then the shear is the roiv that we had in Daf Mem Beis. Here we're talking about shenistaka ad kama techoser. That's the Mishnah Daf Nun Dalet. Something is missing, meaning not only was it severed, not only is there a hole, but where that hole was created, some of the original basar, the flesh of that kana, is missing. Oh, then the shear is a shear, ki iser. So now, getting back to our Gemara, Rav Yirmiya basically was ignoring our Mishnah, just focusing on the Mishnah on Daf Nun Dalet, and therefore, and he also assumed that when Rav was talking about Nikva Kenapa, that there was a chisoroin, not only were there tiny little holes in the kana, but for every little hole, a little flesh was missing from the kana. So then we no longer go with the shear of roiv, now we go with the shear of ki'iser. And therefore that's why Rav Yirmiya is asking Rav, or Rav Yehuda or Rav, why are you telling me that the shear is mitzdar from the ruba? The shear should be mitzdarif to the shear of an iser. Just like in the case of the gulgoilis, when the big shear of the big hole is kumulay maktach, when you have these small in the coven, they mitzdar of the shear maktach. So back to the fifth line here, Alma. Here in Mem Hei Amar Aleph, Alma kim in the shiura mulay maktach, lumlay maktach mitzdarfin. We have all of these tiny little holes. We act as if they are all mechuber, one with the other, and we say it's the same shear. They should be mitzdarf to iser, not to the shear roif. And of course, what does the Gemara answer? So Gemara ishta mitzei hodi amrav chelbay amrav chama bar guri amrav. He forgot, or he didn't know of the member, a second member of Rav. Right, the first member was Rav Yud amrav, and now we have Rav Chelbay amrav chama bar guri amrav. It depends. Nekovim sheyesh ben chisaroin mitzdarf and the kisser. Rabbi Yirmiya, you're absolutely right. If we're talking about small little holes, like the holes of a sieve, and they are missing, kom sheyesh ben chisaroin, there's a little bit of flesh missing every time they made a puncture in the kana, then those pieces together, those nekovim together, the shear is kisser. However, if they were just punctures, just little holes, but no flesh was missing in the kana, mitzdarfin l'ruba. Oh, so zeh gishmak, no kasha, a very, very simple answer. Tosis is bothered by the lashon of ishtamitzei hodi omar. The Gemara should simply say, ha kish b'nekev sheyesh bo chisaron, ha b'nekev sheyein bo chisaron. And therefore, a very, very simple teretz, and you don't have to see a shemitzah, he forgot, he didn't know, just simply that it depends on what the nature of the nekev is. Is it just a pure hole without any missing flesh, or are you talking about a hole with flesh? Very straightforward. Zokti Gemara Vayter. Om Rabba Bachana, Om Reb Yeshua, did I skip anything? Shemitzah, no. Om Rabba Bachana, Om Reb Yeshua ben Levi, Nikla Heimena Ritzua, we're continuing on the same discussion. If instead of there being a hole, in fact, nittle, something is missing, a little thin strap, it's sort of like a strap, of flesh is missing from the kana, again, what's the shear? Mitzarefes the kiyaser, because here we're talking about something missing. When he told me to wear the missing, a neck of sheyesh by chisaron, or the pshitzua sheyesh by chisaron, the shear is ki hisser. And the more now, basically in the next few lines, just repeats this. Boy mineir of Yitzchak bar Nachmeni Rishu ben Levi nikva kinapa mahu. What happens if the kana had tiny little holes like that of the sieve? What is the shear? Amalei Hari Amru. Were you listening for the last few minutes? Nikom sheyesh by chisaron mitzar ben Levi ki hisser. So that is the conclusion of the discussion vis-a-vis the kana of the behema, that small little holes on mitzdarif, if there's a chisaron to the shear ki iser, if there's no chisaron to the shear of roif. What would be the din if you're talking about a bird instead of talking about a behema? Why would the bird be different? Says Rashi, very, very simply. If you were talking about the shear of roiv, the roiv is the same everywhere, just 51% of whatever the circumference of your kana is. So it makes a difference whether the circumference is 20 inches wide or it's 2 inches wide. Just go and do a roiv. But what happens if a neck of shear men chisar? So we said that legabe behema the shear is keiser. In most oifois, the iser would be wider than the entire circumference of the oif's kana, or if not entire, 95%. In other words, their kanim, or kanois, whatever the plural of kana is, in an oif is so much more narrow and so much slimmer than the kana in a behema, then the iser wouldn't apply. The Isser's circumference is perhaps even wider than the whole circumference of the kana. So therefore, what would be the shear now? What you have to do is, you have to take that shtikala, and you have to go and be mekapalit. You have to fold it over the opening of the kana. Now, what does that mean? So, for those of you that have an art scroll Gemara, they have a very nice picture, and I'm sure not everybody there has, but if you don't mind sharing and showing, you have here on 45A, number 2, in my Gemara, it's all the way on the bottom, the right-hand side, you see a long pipe, and then you see a pipe underneath it. That pipe underneath it, as you see, is broken into two pieces. So, anybody have that? Anybody see that? Okay, great. So now, when you're talking about the upper part, in other words, the full pipe on top, you'll notice that there are some black dots there on top, and next to the black dots, you see a dotted line that goes from the top to the bottom of that cut. Those dots that you're looking at, those are the small nekovim, which are nekovim kinapa, that they are small, like the size of a sieve. Okay, so what are you supposed to do in terms of figuring out whether this kana is kosher or not? Is it the animal treif or not? What you do is you take a scissors or you take a knife and you cut three sides. What are the three sides? Not where the dotted line is, but start from the dotted line and cut to the left, both on the top of that black dotted part, as well as on the top of it and on the bottom of it to the left, and then go northward. In other words, on the left-hand side of that dotted picture, and what you're going to have is, after you've cut it from three sides, you're going to have a nice flap. That flap is now the second picture down below, where you see you cut out that area. What did you do with it? You let it continue to stand or to exist attached to the right-hand side, and now you've taken that piece, and it's now like a door or a flap that is now covering part of the opening of the kana down below. I don't know if I was clear. Hopefully I was. But the point, yeah, okay. So now when you put that part that is now that flap, which is covering over the opening of the kana, does it cover a roiv of that opening? If so, treifa. If it only covers 49%, it's kosher. So Here we're adding one additional chiddush that we didn't have by the behemah, and that is not only are we mitzaref all of the holds, but also we mitzaref the space of the kana in between the holds. So you don't have to go and measure like Rashi said before by the behemah. Ilu hayu kulin mechubarim yachad, you deem them as if all these little holds were all together and merged, and you had one large hole. But rather here, you don't need to merge all of them, because we're going to count as part of our, we're going to measure as part of the roif, even the space of the kana, which is in between the holds of this so-called sieve, and go and put them all together. So if you look at the Rashi, to give you a better feel, the Rashi is Ba'oifa. It's about halfway down the Omud in the Rashi's and halfway down the Gemara. The Rashi says Ba'oifa. Everybody have that? Nekovim techisorim Ba'oif. What is the shear by the oif if you have these little nekovim like a sieve? Lekalameimah begageris didei ki iser bekama havashira. There, you certainly can't even talk about that the iser should be the shear, because the iser is perhaps even wider and larger than the hole inside the kana. And therefore, mekaploi, choytech lematim in hakovim, uvitzideim, you have to go and cut from three sides, at shiucha lekapel, kapel means to fold over haritzua, shehein ba, now that you have cut these three sides out, go and fold over the ritzua where it has these holes, klapi piyakon on top of the opening of the kana, like we saw in the picture, umenicha lemokam hakovim al piyakona. Now you have these small little sieve-like holes are now covering over the kana. So Rashi, im choyfa bein hanekoven, v'hasholem shemein nekev lenekev. If you count not only the nekoven, the holes, but also the sholem, meaning the pieces of kana which are intact, in between each one of the holes, put them all together, and if they are now choyfa roiv ha-kana, roiv of the opening of the kana, avagav the nekoven grei lekaruba. Even though if you just merged all the nekovim alone, you wouldn't have a roif, because the nekovim alone were only 40% of the circumference there of the kana. However, here, since you're adding this sholem, if all of that together is a roif, it's treifa. Hoil the yesh ben chisorim. V'shir smichas nekovim zelazeh, kinapa, doa nikva kinapa, kaimina. So, bottom line is, says the Gemara, here, by oif, it's a different measure than what we had before. When we're talking about the kana of a regular behemoth, if there was no chisarain, the shear was aroif. If there is a chisarain, then the shear is kiiser. Here, by the oif, what is the shear? The shear is that you fold over that portion where those holes appear. If they're choif aroif akana, treifa. But the difference between this roif and the roif by behemoth, we did not include the sholem in between. We only included the size of the holes, and here we take all of it together, and if it's covering roiv akonis treifa v'imlav kishayim. And Omer Rapapa said to Simonech, for you to remember this question and answer vis-a-vis the oif, remember nafya. Nafya, says Rashi, means the napa, the seed that we're talking about, but the simon is, you asked about a napa. The answer is kinapa, because just like the question was these small little holes, which like the holes of a sieve, how do you know when the bird becomes treif? If the holes of the sieve are folded over the opening of the kana, and then you see, is it that a good sieve-like flap which is over that hole? And if it's a good sieve-like, so in other words, we started off with a napa, and he answered with a napa. So look at the next Rashi. Nafya, right before the wide lines of Rashi. Nafya is ke'encha oisin ha-napa shemenichin shom yirioiz zonav hasus al pihu ugo. If in the good old days, apparently, they didn't have metal sieves like we have today, but what they used to use for a napa, they would go and take the tail of a horse and put it together, al pihu ugo, on top of whatever basin or whatever kli that you were putting.
Some circular kli,
exactly. Russian eagle, thank you. This is the simen to answer your question. Nokva kinapa sha'alta. You asked a shayla, what happens if it has sieve-like holds. You want to know what the shear is? Umasa na peshivucha. So I answered you. Look, make such a flap over the hole in the corner, and now it looks like a sieve that you're putting on top of a kli. And if it's covering roiv of the opening of that kli, or the roiv of the opening of the corner, treifa. But if this napa-like flap only covers a third or 49%, it is kosher.
So only by an oath, not a bag.
Only by an oath. Only by an oath.
It's more strict standard only by oaths, where we include also the flesh in between the holes. Why don't we do that also by behemoths?
All of the halachas of treifas are halacha l'moishe mi-sinai. You can ask Moshe Rabbeinu, Me'at Hashem Tisha B'Yataretz, when Mashiach will come, Moshe Rai Mehemna, I'm sure we'll be able to explain all of this in great detail. But that's the shir, and we escape Mevaitim. So tomorrow, Nifchasa Kideles. What does that mean? We're going now back to Behema. We said by Behema, the shir is, if it's missing something, the shir is Ki'isr. What happened over here was that, in fact, here you didn't have to go and cut out and make a flap like we just had here by the napa. Here we're talking about that there was already such a flap. If you look at the first line of Rashi, where we just finished the previous Rashi, Nifchasa kmindeles, v'loinotel hapchas, elatoli v'oimid zokav sham, kendeles b'mezuzosai. You open up the neck area of the animal, you look at the corner, and you say, wow, I've never seen anything like this. There's already a flap there, as if somebody carved out from all three sides, the top of the deles, the side, and the bottom, so that you can take with your fingers, with a fork, and you can go and pull this door open and closed. Nothing is missing. The problem only, however, is this is a major opening in the kana. When does that cause it to become usr? So now, if there was the if it was like a normal sever, then we'd say let's look for roiv. However, nothing was severed roiv. In other words, this is the delis, the mezuzah didn't go more than 51% into the depth of the kana. It was a superficial type of delis, so we didn't have severing of a roif. But the question is, what would be the shear under these circumstances? Says Omer Rav Nachman, Kedei Shikones Isser L'Rochbay. The shear is to be able to insert an Isser to its width. Now, what does that mean, to insert the Isser to its width? So we'll see in Rashi, and we'll see a shtikla in Tosis as well. Normally, when you think of inserting a coin, you think of putting it in to its thickness. Like, for instance, if you're putting a coin into a pushka, you don't put it flat into the pushka. Pushka usually has a rather thin or narrow opening. Therefore, you go and put the coin in that direction. Here, we're not talking about inserting the iser through that doorway. Rather, we're talking about inserting the iser, but not to its thickness, but flat, trying to push the Isser in. Now, trying to put the Isser in means, by definition, that the doorway has to be a little bit larger than the Isser, because if it's exactly an Isser, then you couldn't fit through. Just like any time you're trying to fit anything through a bottle, if it's larger than the opening of the bottle, it can't go in, it can't go out. So here, too, this Isser, if it happens to be too large, so that it cannot fit through that doorway, right? You pull the door open, you insert the iser, again, not by the thickness, but by the flat iser, and you push it in. If there's enough room for the iser to get through, then you know that, unfortunately, it's treif. However, if it cannot get through, then you know that it is mutter, because it's a relatively small opening. Let's look at the Rashi. You see the Rashi, first white line. Shikonis Isser L'Rachbay. Says Rashi, V'shir Godel Huzemi Isser. This is greater than just the Isser that we had before. D'Hacha B'inim Nichnas V'yoytze. Here we have to have that the Isser should be able to enter and leave. V'shim T'ein Kan Chisaren. There's nothing missing over here. Normally the Shir Isser, like we said at the top, that something is missing. Here nothing is missing. Vadela soisim es hanekev. And this delis is effective to close up the nekev in the hole of the kanah. So if the opening is so is smaller than an issa that you're trying to press in, then it'll still be kosher. However, if you're able to get the isser through, then it'll be trash. Now, how do we know that we're talking about that you're putting in flat as opposed to at the thickness? Well, that's the definition of l'rochboy, but Tosis spells it out a little bit more. If you see the Tosis, fourth Tosis from the top, k'dei shekonis isser rochboy pirish, l'rochboy shel isser, shio shiveyu sham al rochboy, go and take the coin, place it on top of the roichev ha-pesach of this delis, v'yikonis, if it fits through. Lafuke derech oivyoi, and it's coming specifically to exclude if you're putting it in by the thickness. Here we're talking about put it in flat, see if it goes in, then you know that this is unfortunately treif. If it does not fit in, it cannot squeeze in, then you know that the kona and the behema is kosher. So tomorrow
night, but it would seem, I don't understand, flap, so we're talking about just the narrow, like you mentioned, the tzedakah box, you're putting the coin in, and it's on its
flat down, not sliding it in.
Oh, it's flat down. Flat down.
The surface area of the coin is the area you're measuring for trade for kosher.
That's correct.
So not the width.
The surface area, the size of a dime, basically.
Okay, so therefore, that's what the Gemara is telling us, especially the Rochboy, don't think it's like you're putting into the tzedakah box, its width or its thickness, but rather you're putting it flat on top of that open space, right? Take the delis, open it up, go and kiss the mezuzah there, now put the iser in. If the iser fits in, then you know that it is treif. If the iser is, sorry mister, you're too wide, you're too big, you don't fit in, that's good news, that means that the kana and the behema are kosher. Next shikah, nistika. Nistika means it's split down the middle. Now this is not the same as psukas hagargeris, because what we were talking about until now was to the width. Here we're talking to the length. Length would mean, as you know, the kona is quite long. Starts all the way from the mouth, from the jaw of the animal. And as we'll see later in the Gemara, it goes all the way down to the rea, to the lungs. Which of course is not surprising, because it's the windpipe. So you need the ear to go from the very beginning all the way down to the lungs at the end. How long is that? Of course, it depends on the size of the behema. But let's assume it's a foot long. It's quite long from top to bottom. Says the Gemara, Omer Rav, afilu nishtayi bo el chulia achas lamala, the chulia achas lamata is ksheder. Even if you only leave behind one shtikla band around on the top and one shtikla band on the bottom, we'll see in a moment how wide that band is, all the rest of it is split from top to bottom, just a little bit like a band-aid on top and a band-aid on the bottom, holding it together. That's also kosher. That could mean theoretically that if in our example that the kone is zichweis a foot long, it you have, let's say, 11 inches which are all open, it's still kosher. And the reason for that is, explains Rashi, is because every time the animal wants to move and to go and to come, it stretches its head up a little bit, and as it stretches its the head, then automatically the two sides of the kana converge and come together, and therefore they compensate for any severing which goes down lengthwise. However, if it would be widthwise, Rashi says, then every time the animal picks up its head, then the top of the kana splits from the bottom of the kana, and what was originally maybe only a severing of that pipe of 10% quickly becomes 20, and then 30, and then 40, and then 50, and then 51, and it becomes treif. So the converging of the two sides is, if you're talking lengthwise, where you have a cut through the entire trachea, as opposed to if it was widthwise. I think that's pretty self-evident. The only question is, what is the size of this chulia? Now, chulia, we've had, Rashi says, if you remember the end of Masechtas Menachos, we talked about every time that you make a new tzitzis on the bottom of your four corners, you have chulias. Chulias means the wrappings around that you take the longest of the strings of the tzitzis, you wrap it around a few times, Of course, you have to do that four times. Each time, there's a different number of windings that you do. But that's the taicha of the word chulia. We also have chulia in connection with vertebrae of the shedra, of the spinal cord. All of that is true. Now, how much is the chulia over here? So Rashi says, it's ke'en sholosh tabo'is. Remember, we had, and we're going to have again the Gemara shortly, that when they shechted the kona, you had the tabas hagadoyla, that was the large tabas at the outset, and then subsequently, as you go down, you had tabois ketanois. In fact, in that picture that we saw before, you had numerous tabois ketanois, maybe 15, maybe 20 of them, and then here on the left-hand side, again on the same, the article, you have another picture where you see chulia, and you see again these small little chulias, or small little rings, which are part and parcel of the kana. However, what is important over here, according to Rashi, is it's not that each one of those tabois, each one of those rings, but you have to go and put three rings together. That is the definition of a chulia. So let's look at the Rashi, the fourth wide line. Chulia says Rashi in the middle of the line. Tabas, that's a ring. Shemati, that's what I heard. Nira, not just one ring, Shein Sholish Tabois. You have to have three rings together. It's just like we said over there, by the tzitzis, yichroich, v'yishana, v'yishalish. That you do one winding, a second winding, and a third winding. That's called a chulia l'gabi tzitzis. So here too, it's not just each individual ring, but three rings together. So that's why in that picture, assuming you have the picture in front of you, you'll see it shows on the bottom that you merge three of them together and not just one. On the top, he brings the first pshat of Rashi, that it's one little chulia. That's the shamati pshat. But the nir be'emai pshat is the three together. That forms one chulia. So but all of that is only according to the havamina anyway, as you'll see momentarily. So bottom line is, v'gabi this nistika, you have a lot of freedom in terms of the animal still being kosher, even though lengthwise the kana is severed from top to bottom, but there's a little bit that keeps it intact on the top and a little on the bottom. This is showing kusha. How much is that little bit? Chulia achas lamalav, chulia achas lamata, one chulia, either one ring or three rings. But then we continue on, and then it's kosha. Amru Rabbi Kamei de Rabbi Yochanan, we repeated this shtickle toyer in front of Rabbi Yochanan. Omar, ma chulia de kamara. Forget about chulias, that's not important. Mashulamata is also ksheira. Even has to abyssale. How much is abyssale? 1 millimeter, 2 millimeters. Just you have anything that is still connected at the top and the bottom, it's kosher. Amru kamed Rabbi Yochanan, mishmed Rabbi Yonasan hachi. They repeated this shikotai. Remember, this was Rabbi Yochanan that just spoke now. He said, machulia, machulia. And now they told Rabbi Yochanan that Rabbi Yonasan, who was previously from Bavel, and now came to Eretz Yisrael, they told him, I want you to know, Rabbi Yonasan came recently from Bavel, he says the same thing, Mali Chulia, Mali Chulia, Iker Zama Shehu Lamal Lamata. Omalahu, so now Rabbi Yonasan said to Talmidim, Yadin Chavim Bavloi Lefrushi Ki Haitayma, wow, our Chavirim in Bavel, they know the same halacha as we just said. Shh. Rashi says, he's saying that, Lishvach Omar, he's saying that with great pride, that our Babylonian brothers who are learning Gemara there in Bavel, they were mechavin to the emes, just like us here in Eretz Yisrael, that the share is amashu lamala and lemata. Nu shikla. Tani Rabbi Chiya bar Yosef Kami de Rabbi Yochanan. Kol atzavr kulei kosher lishchita mitabas hagedoyla ad kanfei reya hatachtoina. That the mokum atzavr on the kana is very, very long and wide. Meaning that you don't have to worry too much about hagrama of shechting outside the zone, because the zone starts all the way into Bas HaGedoyla. Tabas HaGedoyla is the beginning, not mamish the beginning, but close to the beginning of the kana, which is in the jaw of the animal. And it goes all the way to the other end at Kanfei Reya HaTachtoina. We'll define what Kanfei Reya HaTachtoina means in another moment. But this Tabas HaGedoyla, if you remember back on Daf Yud Ches, we had a machloikis between the Tanakama and Rabbi Yosef Rebbe Yehuda, that if you start shechting with the Tabas HaGedoyla, make sure that the knife does not slide or angle upwards, because if it does, you can get into problems of hagrama. Lemaisa, the Gemara concluded there that we do not paskin like that Mishnah, and that you can even shecht above the tabas hagedoyla, and you can shecht into what the Gemara called the shipui koiva, which means above the tabas hagedoyla, then the kone starts becoming almost like a cone, and the which means that it goes at an angle, a cone like a dunce cap that they used to go and put on the kids that were acting unruly in class. So the that's how the kone looks as it gets closer and closer into the jaw. You have the shipui koiva. So Rashi points out that even though Rav Chiya bar Yosef taught the halacha is mitabas hagdoyla, we do not follow that halacha because the beginning of the mokka mashchita, the zone, is in fact above or below the tabas hagdoyla, depending which way you're looking at it. So all of those, we're now talking into the jaw of the animal. Tabas hagdoyla is the first ring, a large ring, like the rings that we just saw here in the pictures. You remember the Gemara said over there, the difference between the tabas hagdoyla and the other tabas, that this tabas hagdoyla goes all the way around the circumference, 100%, while the others only went around the 75 or 80%. What held them in place was some cartilage that kept them together, but it wasn't a full tabas. That's why this is called the tabas hagdoyla. Anyway, the real shear, la halacha, is higher than that, and that is the shipui koiva, as it begins to form like a helmet or like a kova. Now that's on one end. On the other end, it's kanfed reya hatachtoina. Now what does that mean? So every reya, as we're going to learn later, is, not today, but later on the Gemara, has four umois or unois, which means four major bronchi. Two on the top and two on the bottom. One to the right, one to the left on the top, one to the right, one to the left on the bottom. Now, if you turn the page of the Art Scroll and you have the next picture, very pretty picture showing the pink color of the rea, you have the long pipe that's going there. You see the pipe that starts towards the top of the picture and goes very much into the middle of the picture, and also extends into the middle of the rea. So I might have thought that you can go and cut all the way until where the windpipe enters into the rea. Says a Gemara, no. Banish those thoughts from your mind. You can only go and cut until where it reaches the top of these, the left una or uma, that's the bronchi, that is part and parcel of the rea. Now you're wondering why the Gemara refers to it as the tachtoina. It really should be the elyoina. And in fact, if you see in this picture, by the way, the reason why it's called kanfe rea is because if you think about it, it looks almost like wings extending to the right and to the left. So the Gemara calls it kanfe, like a kanfe yoina, for instance, the wings of a bird, of a pigeon, of a dove. Anyway, the reason why the Gemara refers to it as the tachtoina is because typically, when the animal, after the animal is geschochten, and you want to flay means to skin, remove the skin of the animal, and then you want to open up the animal to go and check out the evorim, as well as to remove all of the innards and the fats, and cut it into pieces and slices and all that type of stuff, they would go and hang it upside down. In other words, they didn't hang it from the head or from the neck area. They would go and turn the animal upside down. They would hang it from the leg, from a joint in the leg. So what was previously right side up has now become upside down. So when the Gemara refers to the kanfe reya hatachtoina, it means after I've already turned it upside down. And that's why the Gemara continues, Amarava tachtoina shehi elyoina. I really mean the upper part of the unois or umois of the rea, as they, the kanfeyoina, as they're extending upwards. So until that point, you're allowed to go and shecht, because that's legitimate, the zone of shechting on the kana. Anything below that, that's already into the rea itself, so to speak, no good, you can no longer use that for shechting. So even though we started off by saying the tachtoina, it means tachtoina only in the sense that after you've turned it upside down, the upper wings of the Reya are now on the bottom. Oh, so you can go and shecht until that bottom. But really what we're talking about is, assuming that the behema was right side up, hanging, and not upside down, then you'd go to the top of where the una or uma of the Reya extends. And that, until there, you can go and cut the kana as part of the shecht, shechita. Anything lower, it would be possible. That would be...
Yeah, wouldn't you be very far from the beshet? If you shechted an animal so low on the chest, aren't you... I mean, understanding what you're shechting just below the jaw and the throat. If you're shechting that low on the chest, you have a long distance till you get to the beshet, the food pipe. So wouldn't that be a problem?
In this picture, you don't see the parallel food pipes. I don't know how deep the food pipe goes, and... It's not, I mean, first of all, it could be that they're both more or less parallel, but I don't know the anatomy of the animal that well. But over and above that, you could still talk about that he shechted at an angle. So he started lower on the kana and shechted an upwards fashion until he got into the proper zone of the veshet. So and the veshet was also within the zone, but it wasn't a nice, 90-degree type of cut. It was at an angle coming from, or 180 degrees, not sure exactly how you would term it, it was more like at a right angle, starting from lower down near the kana, going upwards onto the veshet. Veshet, as you know, is lower than the kana, so by the time he got to the veshet, it was already higher up, so he didn't have a problem with hagra.
I thought that yesterday we learned it was the targets of veshet, that was the upper part.
Right.
So that's where we had a problem with being trapped. But I think everything below that was okay.
Yeah, but I'm worried that I'm wondering if a shochet is shechting so below on the chest, then it takes time and your problems of dress, of adrasa, your problems of shi'iyah, because by the time you get to the veshet, time has passed, use pressure. I guess so, but just it just seems unusual that you start cutting so far down. And then reach the veshet, you have it's much more challenging.
Oh, but I have a different question because we said that we were learning about the kana. We said that the tarpon, tabasa the dola, that was okay according to
right, right.
But we were saying that if you go down into the apuleus, into those
smaller range,
then you have to be careful with the cut in between them.
Right. Not through the cartilage.
Like
so, soft tissue.
Right, you have to just in between, right? Didn't we learn earlier. Right, we have to cut in between those apuleus.
Between the taboys, correct. Not in the tabas itself, in between. The space in between.
Right, so in other words, it seemed to be that the preferred was
higher up in the tabasa dough area.
You want to make sure you're in the.
What you're saying is correct. The Gemara is not encouraging you to go and shecht so far down. All the Gemara is telling us is what is the parking zone, so to speak, for your shechting. What is the zone? The zone starts all the way up to the Basak Doilo or the Halacha, the Shipri Koiva, and it goes all the way down to right on top of the Rei. Should you do it that far down? No. But just in case the Shoichet did shecht all the way far down, probably it happened once in a million, but if that were to occur, it would still be okay as long as it was above the Reya. And as you were saying, you would have to have it in between the Tabois as opposed to in the Tabois.
But how did he see this cut in between exactly? He's shocked that he doesn't separate it.
It's only after the fact.
After the fact, you would go and inspect it. Exactly. You inspect it after the fact.
No, he's doing it blind.
No, if he's doing it blind, then 50%, then half the time it'd be wrong. You'd be a very narrow target.
99% of the time they would do it in the neck area close to the Shipri Koiva, you would never get to this Shaila. But just in case it ever occurred, this would be the maximum zone.
Okay.
Anyway.
So
just finishing off the shtickle again. Koletzaver kuloi kosher l'shchita mitavasik doda kanfei reya tachtoina marova tachtoina shel yoina sheni oimer, says Rava, kosher peshetis tzavora v'roya. Why do I have this shear all the way from the top till the beginning of the Reya is because when the animal, for instance, is extending its head over the fence to go and eat from grass or from straw or whatever that it's eating, so then it stretches Veroya and then it grazes, that's the maximum length of the Kana that it would stretch for purposes of eating. But you, the Shoichet, when the Shoichet is steadying and trying to stabilize the Mokka Matzava for purposes of Shechita, and so therefore by definition he's going to stretch a little bit the head by pushing the head in one direction and the rest of the body in the other direction, make sure don't stretch it too much, because if you're going to stretch it too much, then you're going to pull up more of the Kana into the Shechita area, into the Shechita zone. Well, we don't want that. Leave it the way that Behema naturally grows and survives and eats and exists. That is the proper zone for Shechita. And now don't go and press you, the Shechita, don't pull it further than you're supposed to, because then it will be treifa. So, Boy Rav Chanina, Misema Rav Chananya, Onze Atzma Mahu. What happens if not that the Shechit was extending the neck, but the animal itself was extending its own neck? It's really sticking its neck out by pushing more than normal. Is that also a problem? So you might take, we just know that the instructions are to the Shechit, don't overextend, but if the animal on its own wants to extend more than that, what the halacha would be, because I'm not doing it, the animal is doing it. So maybe this is normal and natural, and maybe that would be acceptable. Since Simar says teiku, says Rashi, anytime you find a mesechtes chulin teiku by shechita, you go lechumra, therefore no good. So tell the animal, be quiet and do not extend more than is enough. Zokti mora baita, Yosef Rav Yoichan Rav Shimon Lokish, nofik milzim mibenayu, onas b'simonim v'shochat is psula. That in fact, if the shoichet was onas, he stretched out the simonim too much by pushing the head too much to the one end and the rest of the body to the other end, then it's going to be possible. Nikiv ha'kono lematim min ha'choze nidon kareh. So this is another halacha they were discussing. What happens if you have a hole in the kona, which is lematim min ha'choze? Choze means the chest area. What's the halacha now? So normally we say by the kana, those were the two shiurim that we had at the very top of the omid that we discussed the first few minutes, that if there's a nekev, if there is no chisorin, then it's nifsaka beruba. If there is a chisorin, then the shiur was a ki'isser. That's all when it's lemala min achos, when it's normal kana. However, once it goes below the chose, now nidun kareya has the same status like the reya itself. Just like the Reya, we have, it's a nekev b'mashu, that portion of the kana, which is so low, lamata min achozeh, has the same status of b'mashu, even the smallest little hole, it's basically like an appurtenance to an accessory to the Reya. The Reya itself, this year, is a mashu. So this part of the kana, which is so far down, is now like Reya b'mashu. Tana Rabbanan. Now, we're going off a little bit on a tangent over here. Now we're talking about Hilchos Kodshim. As we know, by every Karban Shlomim and Karban Toida, you have to go and give the Koyin a Choze V'shoik. We learned this, of course, in Zvochim and Menachos. Now the Gemara wants to know, what is the shear of Choze? Choze literally means the chest of the animal, and that sounds like a huge amount. But as we'll see in the Gemara shortly, it's much smaller than the entire Choze. Izeu Choze, Ze Haroyes Akarka, Lemata, Aratzavar lemala, I'm sorry, ad lemata aratzavar lemala ad hakeres. Choytach shtei tzalois mishtei defanes eilech ve'eilech. V'zeu choze anita lekeihanim. Now, what does all of this mean? So now, if you have the picture here in the art scroll, this picture is fantastic, like almost all the pictures that we've had. You see, the cow over here. Cow even has a small smile on its face because it knows it's going to be brought for Kodshim, and the Choz V'Shoik is going to go to the Kahanim. So now look, starting from the top of the animal, you see where the spinal cord is. The spinal cord, for some reason, is not flesh with the top. Maybe it's to be able to do a better demonstration. But you have the spinal cord, from which are extending on both sides 13 ribs. And if you have the ribs on one side of the animal and the top, those are on the other side of the animal. And Rashi points out that it's only on the top where you have a hard spinal cord, which has vertebrae, from which come out the tzlois, the ribs. However, the ribs on the bottom of the animal are not attached with a firm bone or a firm cord like the spinal cord, but rather they're only attached with cartilage, which is fine. Okay, that's why Kadosh Baruch Hu created it. And now the shiur of the chazit that you get from the koyin is only on the bottom, even though the chazit really is the whole chest area, which is like half of the animal, starting after the neck, going back halfway, you know, till the stomach. You see all those stomachs over there. You have the keres, and you have the cavum, and the hemsis, and the besikoisis, and all that. So a very large part of the animal is the chazit. However, the only part that you have to give it to the koyin on this picture is the pink part all the way on the bottom. That pink part. You see that starts from the Mar refers to it from the tzavar area. It's really a little bit lower than the tzavar. And it goes until the keres where the stomachs begin. So that portion, not in back of the tzlois, in other words, the beige part of the picture. No. That belongs to the bottom. The only part that you have to give to the kohen is that part which is pinkish on the bottom. And in addition to that, you also give the first tzela on the right-hand side. The first tzela being the first of the 13 ribs. The first rib, and I guess, I don't know if Shelley's around, but assuming that it has a lot of meat attached to it, that would probably be a rib steak. Anyway, that's what you have to go and give to the kohen. That part on the bottom, the pinkish part, and that blue tzela. And the blue tzela, the Gemara refers to it as two tzelois. So Rashi says, because it's really tzela on the bottom and the tzela on the top. If you write to the art scroll people, you can tell them that they should also make blue the upper part, in other words, the tzela that's going on the other side of the animal.
Both sides,
exactly right. So just getting back to the Gemara, we'll see the Gemara. Tanur Rabbanan Ezo Chaza. What's the Chaza that we're giving to the Kohen? Zerayis Akar Kalamata. That's that portion that you see that sees the floor. Not the upper part. Only that pink portion which sees the floor, Lamata. Ad Hatzavar. It goes until the neck on the right-hand side of this picture. And Lamal Ad Akeris. And if you're going further into the animal, that's towards the keris where the stomach is. And in addition to that, pink part is on the floor. You go and cut away those two ribs. Rashi says the two ribs means one on each side. So you have a total of two. This is what you give to the Kanim, and that's how Rashi learns. Toises disagrees on the two tzelois, and Toises says it's not one tzela here and one tzela there, but it's really four altogether. Two tzelois on the right-hand side and two tzelois on the left-hand side. Like the Gemara, it sounds like shtei tzelois mikano mikano. Okay. Now on to the next.
I understand we say a shok. You say a shok is a thigh.
Yes.
So maybe, that I can understand, maybe that's below the pink area. What's the chaza?
That what we just discussed until now for the last 5 minutes is the chaza. That's the pink part of the chaza.
Then what's the shok?
The shok is part of the leg of the animal that we have not discussed at all in the last 10 minutes. It's definitely the thigh, whether it's the upper thigh, it's the bottom thigh, the top of the joint, and bottom of the joint.
So he's getting more than just this chaza. We're stay tuned, he's getting the shok also.
That's right. And by the nozri, you also get the zroya b'shelem and ayu, as well as two chalas. But that's not the discussion here, we're just discussing the chaza. Okay, on to the next case in the Mishnah. Nikiv, in my Gemara it says kruv, and if your Gemara says kruv, it's a printing mistake, it's nikiv krum shalmoyach. So the word krum is written a little bit krum. It should be written with a mem and not with a base. Okay, so now you have a membrane in the head of the animal. Rabbi Shmuel Yamar Tavayu Kroma Iloa Avagavli Inkif Tatoa. What we're talking about is the moyach. Moyach in a person is the brain. Here in the animal, it's, yes, the animal's brain. Around that brain, you have two membranes. One membrane which is directly on top of it, which encloses it, and then you have the outer membrane. You can think of it, if you will, if you're buying fruits or potatoes, let's say, in the grocer, from the grocer, and you first put it into that thin plastic bag, and then you weigh it, right, to see what the weight is. And then when you're taking it home, you go and put it into a larger sack or a larger plastic bag or paper bag or whatever. So you have two bags for the same fruits or the same vegetables. So here too, the same thing, Lagabe, the brain of the animal, it has a membrane which is just around it, very thin, encloses it. Then you have the larger one which is from the outside. The question is, which membrane are we referring to that has a neck that causes the animal to be treif? That's the outside membrane. Even though the inside membrane that's around the moyach is totally intact, nevertheless, it's already treif. The amri lo ad inkif tato. No, others say that in fact the inner membrane also has to have a hole in it to be deemed treif. Think of it as a chaisa. Chaisa means like a large bag. The masnach bay that you placed into it, the moyach, the skull or the brain of the animal, that's the membrane. It's like a sack or a bag that's holding the membrane or holding the brain inside. In other words, if you're not so familiar with the anatomy of the brain of the animal, of the head, and you're wondering where does the outside membrane begin and end, or where does the inside membrane begin and end, it's not that easy, it's not that discernible if you're not an expert. However, if you look at the bayim, that's the testicle portion of the animal, were you to open up the outside sac, there you see also two membranes, an outer one and an inner one, and there it's very, very clear. You can go and differentiate one and the other very simply. So think of that as your parallel for purposes of the krum shumayich, also the inner membrane and the outer membrane. What the Gemara is saying is, by the krum shumayich we say nikev. Nekev is, remember, Rashi said in the Mishnah, means a nekev kolshu in that membrane, and the behemoth treif. Now, what happens from the brain? The brain is not just all on its own, and you're just in a sack, and we're done. From the brain comes out the spinal cord. The spinal cord has in it the nerves that go throughout the body of a human being, and the havdol of an animal. So says the Gemara, the moyach, where does the moyach begin and end, and where does the shedra? Because the shedra has a different shear. There it's not a shear of a nekev, there it has to be, that's nechtach, the chut of the shedra, that the spinal cord has been nechtach, has been cut. So these are different shiurim. So Zokti Mora, moyach koma shebik deira. Deira is just an expression. Anything which is still in the pot, in our case, was just still in those membranes, in the bag, so to speak. Din kimoyach. Hischalim shech, once you have that spinal cord which is starting to extend from the moyach, nidin kachut hashed. Omehechen maskeli moshech. Tell me specifically where, how, vuz ben. Onto the Amr base, Kemin Shnei Poilin Yesh. A pull, as you know, is a bean, like the beans like you put in your chulin for Shabbos. So those two Poilin Yesh Munachan al Pihak Deira. They are two little bean-like shaped membranes or pieces of flesh or whatever. If you look again, if you have the art scroll, he has a picture over here. I find the picture a little bit confusing. But you see in the middle, you have the moyach, which is in the head, and coming down from that, you have those two poilin from the right and from the left, bean-like pieces of flesh, or what have you. And then you see, down the middle, you have the chuta shedra, which is coming down. So those shnei poilin are at the doorway that connects between the moyach and the chuta shedra, which is coming down. So, says the Gemara, that's where it begins and ends. Now the question is, what about, so the Gemara says, Min ha-poilin v'lefnim, kelefnim. In other words, higher up in this picture in the poilin that gets you into the moyach, that's the moyach. Min ha-poilin v'lechutz, anything beyond the poilin and further down is kelechutz, that would already be the chut ha-shedra. U'poilin atzman, ein yedeh, what about the poilin themselves? What happens if there happens to be a hole or it's cut? What is the shear? Ein yedeh chveis yishwad that has the status of the moyach or the status of the chut ha-shedra. U'mistavra kilifnim, but the svara tells me that it should have the same din as kilifnim, and therefore it has the stricter shear of the nekev in the moyach as opposed to the severing of part of the chut hashedu. Rabbi Yirmiyah Badek Ba'ifa, he checked it out in a bird. Oh, that the bird, Kadosh Baruch Hu created the anatomy of the bird just the same as the behemah in this respect. Therefore, if you look at the lower picture again in the art scroll, they show you where the two poilin are, which presumably connect between the moyach and between the shedra of the bird. Okay. Right, from here it's a little bit easier. Nikav alev lebeis chalolei. There's a hole in the heart that goes to the inner chamber. Boy rabchia lebeis hil. I'm sorry. Boy rabchia lebayis cholol katan oy lebayis cholol gadol. In other words, there is one very large chamber in the middle of the heart. Outside of that chamber, there are small little chambers. So we say that there has to be a nekev that goes to the cholol, into the chamber. Are we talking about that big chamber in the middle? Or are we talking those small little chambers which are surrounding around the middle? I understand what the shail is. Let's go back to the Mishnah when we talk about the Reya, Rav Shimon Oymach, Tinokev Lebeis HaSimpoinois, that the nekev in the Reya cannot be totally superficial. It has to reach down, the puncture has to go into the basis and point. Those are the bronchi, which are part of the lungs. The Omer Rabba Bar Tachlif, Omer Rabbi Yirmiyah Bar Abba, Omer Rav, Achitanuk of the Simbin Godel. There too, you have the larger bronchi, and then you have smaller bronchii, or whatever, or alveoli, or whatever those fancy terms are. So there, it means the big, big middle, of the middle chamber, so to speak, these big bronchi. It's Hoch, so says the Yomar, so the same thing by the leg, should also be the big cholo. What's your shaila? The reason why my shayla is hosel basis and poinos ketoni. There, the lashon of the Mishnah of Reb Shimon is that the hole has to go down into the basis and poinos. So, what does it mean, basis and poinos? Lahecho deshavchi simpoinos kulu. It means where all of the simpoinos kind of converge and merge, so that if you have, for instance, a liquid, of course, we don't have liquids inside, or at least hopefully you don't have any liquid inside the lungs, but all of the liquids would converge there in the middle. And that's why we talk about basis and pointus being in the middle, because that's where all the simpoinus kind of merge together. All of the... There seems to be some noise in the background. Everything okay? Let's try to continue.
Yeah, Shlomo has to leave.
Okay.
He'll be back tomorrow.
Shlomo, it's nice seeing you. Hatzrach Elaba. Zay isn't. Be well.
Nice. You're not here tomorrow?
Okay. L'chaim l'shalom. Wherever you are, have a nice time. Anyway.
We'll see you on Zoom tomorrow.
I don't know. Okay, let's continue on, Rabbi Sai. If you're able to connect through Zoom is good. If not, you can go and call telephone and you'll be hooked up via telephone also to the call. Okay.
Right, thank you.
Okay, so let's continue on, Rabbi Sai. So the Gemara is now differentiating between the lung, where the Mishnah refers to the basis and poinos, and to the lave, or just cholol of the lave. By the lave, we ask, are we talking about the big chamber or the small chambers? And the Gemara says, just like by the simpoinus, by the lungs, we're talking about the simpon hagadol, so here probably also is the cholol hagadol. So Zimar, no raya from the base and simpoinus, because since by the lungs it doesn't say simpoin, it says the base has simpoinus. Ah, lehecha, the shafchi simpoinus kulu. That's where all of the chambers to the right and to the left and up and down, where they all merge together towards the middle. Oh, so that's taka, the greatest simpoin. That's, however, the shafchi simpoinus kulu. V'hoch, but the case of the lathe, it doesn't say lebeis. Reb Shulam, please, you've been wonderful until now. You've been great until now. Please keep on being a little bit quiet until the end of the shiur. V'hoch lebeis chalol iktani, mali cholol gadol, mali cholol katan. In the Mishnah, it doesn't say to the beis ha-chalolim, which would sound like where all of the small chambers merge. It just says lecholol. So I don't know. Does that mean the big chol in the middle or the small chalol in the middle? So I have no raya from the Mishnah, from the simpoin, and the Gemara is not poishit the shayla. And now we continue on. Kone halev. Kone halev means the pipe in the body which connects to the lave, to the heart. we're going to see a little bit further down that this Kana Halev, in fact, originally started off as the Kana, the windpipe that extends to the Reya, and then from the Reya, it also extends into the heart, because after all, then you have to have both the blood and the ear going into the heart and into the lungs and all that. Anyway, getting back
that
to...
That's not the air that goes into the blood, because that comes through the lungs.
Right. The air doesn't go directly to the heart. The air goes to the lungs, and the lungs carries the
oxygen into the blood. It oxygenates
the blood to the depth of the heart.
Okay, we're going to see a little bit more about that in another two lines. Just a little patience, we'll see. In the meantime, we have this kind of lave, the pipe that leads into the lave. What is the shiur? Rav Omer b'mashu, Shmuel Amar b'rubay. Makloikis. Rav says the mashu, just like the lave itself. A lot of noise in the background. Just like the lave, the shiur is a naked b'mashu. It has to go into the cholol, but it's a small hole. Here too, the shiur by the kind of lave is b'mashu, according to Rav, according to Shmuel. It's like the cutting of the regular kana. Where if you're cutting it l'rochboy, then the shear is berubay, like we started off today's blot, that the nifsika hagargeris. So here too, this kana lev is also the shear of berubay. Freitimar, can you describe to me hay new kana halev? What does it look like? Where does it appear? Blah blah blah. Amar Rabbi Yitzchak, Amar Rav, chaylev shal gabi tefanois. It is enclosed with chaylev, with all types of fats, al gabi tefanois, on the sides of the. That the Gemara learns in the Havamina on the sides of the animal, like, you know, outside the rib cage. As if you were, you know, cutting a piece of meat from the animal, the chile, which is covering the defanis from the sides. Maybe you might define it as flanking, perhaps. Anyway, which l'chore has nothing to do with the reya and with the leif, as the Gemara is going to point out in a moment. But before we get to the next shikul Gemara, I just wanted to point out that there's a very important Rashi over here. And the Rashi is about three lines into the narrow lines. It says Rashi, kol chaylev mikri chaylev bein tomei bein tohar. When you see the word chaylev in the Gemara, don't automatically assume that means the chaylev that you're not allowed to eat. Because chaylev, by definition, really includes all the schmaltz, all the fats in an animal, both those which are kosher and those which are non-kosher. V'shuman ene el loshen chachamim. In the Torah, you don't find the word shuman. It's a term that the Chachamim are using. Kigoin gabeshtei chatichos achas shel chaylev achas shel shuman. The purpose is to distinguish between kosher chaylev and non-kosher chaylev. So instead of each time saying cholev kosher and cholev treif, the Gemara uses the term chaylev to mean the non-kosher fats and shuman to mean the kosher fats. The al-korche karli shuman, Mishum de Gabi Chaylev Tanya, since we want to differentiate between the non-kosher and the kosher, so the Chum, quote-unquote, invented this term. It's not really invented, because Shuman comes from the word Shamein, and Shemen, so it means the fats, but whenever you see the word Chaylev in the Gemara, in general, generically, it doesn't automatically say, oh, Chaylev, stay away, Nikor, cut it out, throw it out, or, in the case of a carbon, put it on the Mizbeach. No, Lav Davke. The word Chaylev means fats generally. So therefore, what he's saying is that, getting back to our Gemara, when we're saying chaylev shel gabi tefanis, don't automatically assume, oh, this must be treifa fats. It could be talking about kosher fats as well. But that's where you would find the kana halev. Freit the Gemara, we're on the first wide line, right? What's hayniuch kana halev? I'm Rabbi Yitzchak, I'm Rav. Chaylev shel gabi tefanis. Freit the Gemara tefanis. Tzolka daitach. You're talking about the fats on the side of the animal next to its doifanis, its walls, like the flank. Ah, impossible. Eli min shel gabi defani reya. We mean on the walls of the reya. Now, what does that mean? Again, if you have a picture here, is this a good picture? Okay. So turn to the next page. This is already on two, right? 45b2. You'll see you have a picture of the kana of the entire and the reya, and then you see there in the middle, it looks like a mini. Corn or something like that. That's kane alev. It's otzuf b'shuman that is covered over with chaylev. That's the kane alev that we're talking about. So that kane alev is a machlok between Rav and Shmuel. Is the shear b'mashu or the shear is b'raif? Amar amein l'mishmei de Rav Nachman. Shasha. Amar amein l'mishmei de Rav Nachman. T'losa kane hava. There, when you start off with the big kana, that starts off from the jaw, from the Shupakoiva and the Tabas HaGdoyla, etc., and goes down. Eventually it branches out into three mini pipes. What are those three mini pipes? Chad Parish Liba, one of them goes to the heart, which was, we just spoke about, the Kana Leif. V'chad Parish Le Reya, one of them goes into the Reya, into the lungs. V'chad Parish Le Kavdan, the third one goes into the Kovet, into the liver. So what are the Shi'urim? Mr. Shulevitz, Reb Shulam, Shabbos Shtila. So the Gemara is saying, the Kana that goes to the Reya, that has a status like the Reya, which means a neck of kosher. The kavda is kikavda, is like the liver, where we said in the Mishnah, nitel hakoved v'leishayir b'menu klum, that the whole kavod is missing and there's nothing. That's the same shear for the kana of the kavod. The liba, the kana of the lev, is pligi. That's the machloikis that we just had now between Rav and Shmuel, by the kana lev, where Rav said b'mashu, and Shmuel amar b'rubai. However, there was another version, mar bar chia masli ibcha, just the opposite, that the kana of the reya is kikavda. If it's totally missing, v'leishayim b'meniklum, that's the shear of the kana reya, is like the shear of the kaved of the liver. The kana of the kavda is like the shear of the reya, even if it has the smallest little hole, then it passels in, makes a treif. The liba, the kana of the leiv, is pligi, the same machloket between Rav and Shmuel, the mashehu or berubai. He repeated this in front of Shmuel. What do you repeat? The shear of the kona halev. The Rav said the mashu. Shmuel was very dismissive. If that's what Rav said, he's really not familiar with Hilchas Treifis, because any person who understands the anatomy of the animal knows that a kona halev is not possible the mashu, but the psul would be ber roif. We all know that Shmuel was a doctor, and so therefore apparently he was not only familiar with the anatomy of human beings, but lehavdil also of animals, and he said, no, the kana lev, the shear is beroiv, and not the shear is b'mashu.
But Rav lived among shepherds for 18 months, and he knew all the women and everything, he was yadir yadir. So how can Shmuel be so dismissive of Rav? He was the expert in women and in animal anatomy.
So there are two answers to your question. Number one, maybe he went to study the 18 months after he heard this Gemara that Shmuel was dismissive. He figured, oh, if Shmuel is dismissing me, I better learn more about it. Number two, he didn't learn about Treifus, he learned about Mumin. Mumin, by definition, 99% of them are all external. So he had to learn which Mumin are those which passel an animal, which are Matir, and which passel for purposes of a Bechor, or for purposes of other Kabbanis. While Treifus are all 99% internal, and therefore never the twain shall meet. These are two different concepts, if you will. Right. Nishbar HaShedr.
The argument is only about the Kana Halev, or is there a sense?
The argument in our Gemara is Kana Halev, but Shmuel's statement was a little bit more generic and encompassing. He says, I see that Rav doesn't really understand Treifus that well, because here by the Kana Halev, he shouldn't be saying Bemach, he shouldn't be saying Beroy.
Yeah.
Okay.
Okay.
Zoltimar Nishbar HaShedra. If the Shedra, the cord is, the Shedra, which is the outside spine, is broken to the point where the chut inside, what was the Lashon HaMishnah? That the chut inside the spinal cord was Nifsak. If you have, going back to the Mishnah was on the, let's see, Nikvar Kevi, Nikvar Mora, Keres, no, it's higher up. Third line of the Mishnah. Nishbar HaShedra Benifsak HaChut Shalah. That the shed was broken, and the chut, that is a spinal cord, inside was nifsak. Okay, zokti yumariyetz. Turn around. Chut ha-shedra she-nifsak, what's the shear? Just says nifsak in the Mishnah. Says, Rebbe, nifsak berubai, it means that roiv of that cord was cut, was severed. While Rabbi Yankov, oimer afil, that divri right. Rabbi Yankov, oimer afil, nikiv, afil, a klein chigenef, a little hole is enough to make the animal treif. So now, Rebbe,
I wonder said, how he's even moving if he's got the spinal injury. He should be paralyzed.
Maybe it was. Maybe
he got the injury when he was being shafted. You know, the animal dropped or something after the sheet, and the animal dropped on the ground, and the shed was split.
After the sheet doesn't make a difference.
Exactly. But now you don't know.
Anyway, bottom line is, you have a machloikis, what the shear of this nifsak. Is it beroiv, or is it there? Nekev. So even though Rebbe himself said it's Beroiv, Rebbe was Machmir and Hoyre Rebbe, Kirab Yankiv, that anytime he had a shayla coming up, he said, like Rabbi Yankov says, kinekev. Ravuna, however, that's not the halacha. Ain't halacha Rabbi Yankov, but rather the shear is roif and not nekev after all. Now you're wondering, the Kamarubai, what does that mean, roif? Rav Omer roif. Oy roif the amrila roif moichai. In other words, when we look at that spinal cord, we pull away the outside vertebrae, which protects the spinal cord. Now we get to the cord. If roiv of the oyer, that is the surrounding skin, if roiv of that is cut, says Rav, treifa. The Amri Lava, there was another version, not the outside skin, but roiv moichai. Moichai means the nerves which are inside the column, which of course extend from the moich all the way at the top of the head of the animal. So mandi omer roiv moichai kochkin roiv oyrei. The one that holds Rav Moichai makes a treif, certainly Rav Oirai. The man, the Yom, Rav Oirai, Rav Moichai Mai. Now, why is there this coach, okay? Because the point of this is, even though the Moich, the nerves, may have a hole inside, as long as you have the outside skin is holding it all together, L'choyra, this animal could still live for a long period of time. It's only when the outside skin gets perforated, uh-oh, then I really got to be nervous about the nerves inside. However, if you're saying that roiv moichai, that already makes the animal treif, then certainly roiv oirei, because that's already the beginning of the end, when the outside casing in the form of the skin is severed, then you know the moich is done for it. L'man diyoma roiv oirei, roiv moichai, what would he hold if it's only roiv moichai? In other words, the oir is still totally intact. It's only a problem in the moich inside. Toshima, the omen, the yuli, omer, afuna, ru, boisha, omer, roiv, oiroi. The important thing is the oir, moich, ze, loy, malav, loy, moir. The inside nerve, whether it's punctured or not, really, it doesn't matter. As long as the oir is intact from the outside, at least to the extent of roiv, it's still kosher. Rav Nosson bar Avin, avi Yosef, kami, derav, bodek, beroiv, oiroi. The kabodik beroiv moichai. He checked both the roiv oir and the roiv moich. On Malay, he told him that's not necessary. Im roiv oirei kayim, moich ze, ene mala ve ene moirid, just like we said a moment ago. Om Rabbi Bukhana, Om Rabbi Shu ben Levi. Nismarech posel, nismasmeis posel. Until now, you said about the moich that if there was a hole in the moich, it doesn't make a difference. Ene mala ve ene moirid. Said Rabbi Chanan Rabbi Shuman Levi, fine. Even though there's a hole, there's a puncture, it's okay. But what happens if the nerve is now beginning, unfortunately, to liquefy? Nismarach means it's become liquidy, so it will spill out, as you'll see in another moment. Well, nismasmes means it's become very, very soft, like wax. Both of those are possible. Ezui hamrocha, ezui hamasmasa. How do you differentiate nismarach and nismasmes? Hamrocha kosher nishbach kekitoin. In other words, you open up the oir on the outside of the spinal cord, and then the inside, the moich, starts pouring out like you're pouring from a kitoin, like from a pitcher. Oyoyoy, the whole solid nerve has now become liquid. Pos. This masmasa means kosher niyochel lamoid. It's not a situation where it's become totally liquid, but it's become nomes, like wax that can easily melt. And what does it mean, kosher niyochel lamoid? If you were to hold the spinal cord in your hand, if the animal was gesund, then the spinal cord would be like a stecken, would be like a cane, like a piece of wood, and it wouldn't bend one way or the other. However, if it's become very soft and weak, you're holding it from the bottom, and you'll notice that it's starting to bend over to the right or to the left, because that's how soft the inside is. This is a Rabbi Yirmiyah's question, and he's saying, what happens if the reason why, when you're holding it, it doesn't stay taut, but it starts to bend, is not because it's weakened, but because it's very, very heavy, and the spinal cord just cannot take all of the weight, and that's why it's starting to swerve to the right or to the left. Is that also a simen psul? The Gemara teiku, and again Rashi says, since it's teiku, here in Hilchas Treifus, when you see teiku, that means you have to be machmir, and it's treif. Now we spoke about nismas meis. Bei Rav Amri nismas meis is tak apostle, like we just said, that became very soft. Nismas meis, however, is kosher. Now what means nismas meis? So we'll see a little bit more about this in the Gemara, but Rashi says nismas meis, if you see Rashi halfway down the wide lines. This must mean the beginning of the line. Nisroikin mehamoyach mitzos me'elav. Some of the moyach, some of the nerves, unfortunately, has fallen out. It says over here that it's kosher. Now, that's shver, because if some of the nerve is missing, how could it still be kosher? But apparently, there's a big difference between liquid and between the solid. In other words, if it's become so liquidy that it pours out kikitain, then basically this spinal column is, and the spinal cord is worthless. However, this masmeis means 98% of it is still intact. It's still solid in terms of it's not become a liquid, and unfortunately little particles have fallen off. Okay, as long as you know most of it is still intact and strong, that's fine. If it becomes liquidy or becomes melting that it will bend over, that's possible. However, if a little bissel is missing, it could still be kosher. As meisvei, Reb Shimon Aluza Oimer Behemesh Nismazmeis Moicha is treifa. We just said Nismazmeis is kosher. And for the Gemara, that's really a mistake. It's not Nismazmeis, ahi Nismazmeis Itma. The real gears is Nismazmeis, which we just said, Beirav Amri, it's possible. Pray tomorrow, and you have another kasha. Well, Levi Avi Yosef be Mesusa. Levi was sitting in a bathhouse. Chazal Gamani saw a person, the Tariel Reshe, that Nebuch, he banged his head. Where did he bang his head? There's a hay over here, and if you look at the Masori Sashas on the upper left hand side, he says, Masori Sashas, hey, Pirish, the Tariel Reshe, the Nofal Bemerich, it's Nebuch, the person was walking there in the bathhouse and he fell down, he slipped. Either he hit his head against the wall, or bekarka on the floor, the brain inside the skull, Nebuch moved a little bit. And he, Levi, watching this, was almost moved to tears. Omar, did you see what happened? What a terrible accident. Doesn't that mean when Levi made that exclamation, isn't he mean lavdolichai? Didn't he mean to say Nebuch, this person is a goner, he's not going to live? So you see, this mazmeis should be possible, it's a treifa. The reason why he was so upset and he was Nebuch, nismazmeis moichad adain, it means because unfortunately he will no longer be able to reproduce. So Rashi explains that the aver that one uses for reproduction, the aver down below, is connected in part to the chut hashedra, which is connected to the moyach. So the nerves that go all the way from the brain down into the spinal cord, down into the aver down below, if they are all solid, is good. But unfortunately, if there's the brain hit the ground or whatever, Nebuch, there could be a problem with the whole nervous system and he won't be able to reproduce anymore. But he could live. Yeah. You have plenty, not plenty, but you have many people that unfortunately cannot reproduce, but still can live, you know, another 50 years, etc. Okay, ad heichen chut hashedra. How far does the chut hashedra go? We know that it starts all the way from the moyach that we had before, but now how far does it go down the animal? Now, if you look, again, here you have a picture on the art school Memhei Amid Beis, number 4. You see the chut hashedra. You have the initial 13 tzalois, 13 ribs, and after the 13th rib, then you don't see any more ribs, but you see like green hair coming out. And that's what the Gemara is going to refer to as proshais, meaning that at this point the chut hashedra is no longer as firm and as stable and as strong as it was until now. From here, instead of tzalois coming out, these big heavy-duty ribs, rather you have tiny little things coming out from, not only from two sides, but from three sides of the chut hashedra. One goes to the right of the animal, one towards the left, and then the final one in the middle goes towards the tail.
But those are nerves, they're not swallows, they're not bony.
They're not bones.
Exactly.
They're not ribs.
Those are nerves, exactly. They're not ribs, they are nerves that are extending. And as we'll see in the Gemara momentarily, it wasn't just a one set of three nerves, right, left, and then towards the tail. After that was finished, another three would continue to extend. So if you look at the picture on the left-hand side, you see where it has the Bein HaProshais, where you have, this is the middle one, which is extending from the Chut HaShedra down towards the tail. It keeps on splitting up right, left, again right, left, right, left, and this happens at least three times. And we're going to distinguish between where there was a severing or a hole in those proshos. Proshos means where it's mafresh, where it spreads to the right and to the left and towards the back of the animal. So getting back to Gemara, ad heichon kut. I'm sorry?
We're good.
We should continue to be good. And the animal should continue to be good. Ad heichon desherom yura mishmol ad beina proshos. Until the middle of those proshos. We're going to discuss what that means momentarily. Ravdimi bar Yitzchak have a kaboy lemezel lebeichuzoy. We've had Beichuzoy a number of times. Beichuzoy is a far away place. And Ravdimi bar Yitzchak was going there. Maybe he was going there to settle. Maybe he was going there to visit. But before he left, he had a train or a caravan that was about to leave. He wanted to quickly find out what the shiur is by Beina Prashas. It's also the Kamid of Yehuda. He asked Rabbi Yehuda, I have to run because I have a bus or a train that I have to catch. It's not Rabbi Yehuda, it's Rabbi Yehuda. And he asked him, Omalei lechvi limar Beina Prashas Eich. Can you show me exactly where the shiur is by the Beina Prashas, where the Chutah Shedra has ended, Beina Prashas starts? Omalei said, Zil aisili gdi, go and bring for me a gdi, a goat, a baby goat, like Chad Gadya, which has already been geshochten, va'achvi lochen, will open it up and I'll show you. Aisilei gdi shmeini, brought him a geshochten, a gdi, but it was very, very fatty. Omalei, so he told him, b'liya tvei v'lo yadia. I really can't point to the process here. It's so full, and it's embedded in the fat, and it's really very, very difficult to go and show. Do bring me another one. So he quickly brought a skinny goat. Amalei said, bleat and tvei v'lo yadia. The bleat and tvei over here, says Rashi, is referring to the hip bone is sticking out so much, it's holding back the nerves and the fats and everything below it. And again, v'lo yadia, I can't show you. So Amalei instead, Rav Yehuda said, you know what? Tova agmach gemara. I'm not going to be able to show you physically inside. Rashi said because he had to rush to catch his caravan or his train, whatever, he couldn't wait for him to go and dissect the whole animal to take away all the fats and to push away the bone and all that. Chanish katzait. So Tova agmach gemara, I'm just going to go and teach you what the Chazal told us. Hachiyam Shmuel. Ad achas treifa. Shlishis ksheira. Shnia eini yedeh. So this is where the picture comes in handy. That after the Chutah Shedra ends, after all those ribs, and now the nerves are coming out, so we have a number of those parashas. If you're talking about in the first parasha or parasha, there happens to be a severing over there, then achas it's treifa. Remember the shir, but the Chutah Shedra is nistak l'ruba, machloikis roiv oiroi or roiv moichoi. Here you don't have moich anymore, you just have the nerves, so it's severed to roiv. By the first one, it's treif. Once you get to the third one, that's already very insignificant. That's kosher, even though it's severed. Shnei, but the middle one, any day I don't know what the halacha would be. And so therefore, we'd have to go and say teiku, and then it would be, well, the chumra, it would be treif. We'll stop over here, and yet should be continued tomorrow. Thank you all for your patience and listening to the show.
Wow.
I'll tell you very briefly one thing. My brother-in-law is a doctor. He lives in Paris. And he told me one time a patient came into the emergency room. He had been in a motorcycle accident. He walked in, and then he took off his helmet, and he dropped dead. Because his brains basically were being kept intact by the helmet. Once he removed the helmet, he was a goner. And it's very similar.